Morning Watch, Day 4. The Crystallization Study of Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes, Week 1. The Great Question in the Book of Job and the Great Answer. Related Verses. Philippians 3:8. But moreover, I also count all things to be loss, on account of the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, on account of whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as refuse, that I may gain Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. Revelation 3:18. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, and that the shame of your nakedness may not be manifested, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. Ephesians 3:16-19. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit into the inner man, that Christ may make his home in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be full of strength to apprehend with all the saints what the breadth and length and height and depth are, and to know the knowledge surpassing love of Christ, that you may be filled unto all the fullness of God. Hebrews 8:10. For this is the covenant which I will covenant with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will impart my laws into their mind, and on their hearts I will inscribe them, and I will be God to them, and they will be a people to me. Romans 8:28-29. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Suggested reading. Suffering is the lot of all the inhabitants of the earth. Some people imagine that if you believe on the Lord and live in his fear, you will be immune from all ills. Yet numbers of Christians are grievously afflicted, and some who live in vital touch with God are in constant suffering. Looking into this problem of suffering, in my early days, I was only able to draw these conclusions from my studies. 1. Man is prone to error. Therefore, suffering is necessary for his correction. 2. Suffering is needful if we are to comfort others, for only they who themselves have suffered can truly help other people. 3. The discipline of suffering is essential if we are to acquire endurance. 4. Suffering is inevitable if we are to be molded into vessels that will be of use to God. These four conclusions that I came to in my youth are all correct, but they come short of the mark. The ultimate object of all suffering is the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose. That purpose has been revealed to us through the scriptures, but it can be realized in us only through suffering. And its realization involves an experiential knowledge of God, not only as the living God, but also as the God of resurrection. Every saved person has some evidence that God is a living God. But comparatively, few of the saved realize that the God who dwells within them is the God of resurrection. If the distinction between the living God and the God of resurrection is not clear to us, many problems will arise in our experience as we seek to press on. Let me explain this distinction quite simply. With the incarnation, a dispensation began in which God and man and God were blended into one. But the incarnation is only one half of the mystery. The other half is the resurrection. The incarnation brought divine content into human life. The resurrection brought human content into divine life. After the incarnation, it was possible to say, there is a man on earth in whose life there is a divine element. But not until after the resurrection was it possible to say, there is a God in heaven in whom there is a human element. That is the meaning of the resurrection. But why do we stress the distinction between the living God and the God of resurrection? It is because while the living God can perform many acts on man's behalf, the nature of the living God cannot blend with the nature of man. When, on the other hand, the God of resurrection works, his very nature is wrought into the nature of man. Even when the living God has performed some act on your behalf, after that act, as before it, he is still he, and you are still you. His working on your behalf does not impart anything of his nature into you. The living God can work on behalf of man, but the nature of the living God cannot unite with the nature of man. On the other hand, when the God of resurrection works, he communicates himself to man by that which he does for him. The primary purpose of suffering in this universe, particularly as it relates to the children of God, is that through it, the very nature of God may be wrought into the nature of man. Through a process of outward decay, an inward process is taking place that is adding a new constituent to our lives.